All right, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms 119. Psalm 119. And you'll notice that on our PowerPoint presentation, our text is there. You know, as your pastor and preparing to preach messages, throughout the week, I come across many different thoughts and ideas of things that I'd like to share. Different experiences, all kinds of different things. I've had about 5 different subjects on my mind to preach this week. Just different things, like one of them, for example, a kid showed me a video in class this week, said, "Hey, Mr. Campbell, we want you to watch this." And that video caused me to consider different things. But because we have those many different thoughts, there's in my desire to share with you something that you need in your life. I know in your life you have many different challenges. I know there's many things that compete for your loyalty, that compete for your time. I know that probably in your heart, conflicts may arise. Maybe sometimes fear and anxiety maybe even comes as you think about the things that are out there. And as your pastor, as I think about who you are and what you're facing, what can I do to help? What can I share to help you in your life live a better Christian life, be more faithful, live with confidence? What can I share? No matter the ideas with which you may be bombarded, there is one thing, though, that we need to settle. No matter how this world may view our Christian life, no matter the songs that they might sing to contradict a faithful Christian life, there's one thing that we need to settle on. Really, no matter your feelings about it or your reluctance to follow it, we need to settle on what Psalm 119 and verses 89 and 90 have to say. Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90 say this: "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." There is one thing that we need to settle on, and the one thing that we need to settle on is that this is the Lord's world, and His word is settled in heaven. We need to be solid on that. This is the Lord's world, and His word is settled in heaven. This world will challenge God's authority. This world will challenge that there is one true God. You know, there's many different gods to this world. There are many voices out in the world that say, well, it doesn't matter how you worship, or how you plan on getting there, we're all going to go to heaven. The world will tell you that you're intolerant by saying that there's only one God, and that's the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. If you say that Allah is not God, oh, well, they'll say you're intolerant. They'll say that you're a hater. They'll say that you're full of hate speech. If you say that Allah should not be worshipped, then, you know, the world will challenge God's authority. The world will question God's world or God's rule. They will question His rule over this world. But we need to be settled on the fact that this world is His and that His word is settled in heaven. So important. His word is settled in heaven. Now, since His word is settled in heaven, we have a responsibility to follow it. Jesus told his apostles to go and teach all nations. That phrase, go and teach all nations, means to go and make disciples. I want you to go and make those who will follow my teachings. I want you to go and make those who will follow my words. We all need to understand today that this is exactly what Jesus makes. Jesus makes disciples. He doesn't make professors. He doesn't make almost disciples. Those that are His people are disciples. And if you are not following His word, you are not His disciple. If you're not taking up your cross daily and following Him, you cannot be His disciple. Because what Jesus does is He saves people from their sins and He puts their Holy Spirit in their life, and the Holy Spirit causes them to love the Word of God, to desire the Word of God, and to follow the Word of God, because in following the Word of God, you are following Him. That's who Jesus makes. Jesus doesn't save people to let them live however they want to go and live like the world. Jesus makes disciples. We need to understand that. Now, I want you to think about this. Why would I want to follow His word? A disciple is one who follows the teachings. A disciple is one who is a learner. A disciple is one who walks in the footsteps of Jesus. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Well, I want to contrast the chaos that exists in the life of the world with the life of one who follows the Scripture. Think about what you see in the world. The chaos that is in the world. What is prevalent in our world? One of the greatest problems that we have is drug addiction, isn't it? Isn't that what you see in the life of one that is in the world? This week I took the time to do some research on issues and problems that people are facing in life. I really and truthfully, what I wanted to do is I feel like this, if I'm your pastor, I feel like that I ought to help you with the things that you're struggling with. As a matter of fact, I told him on Wednesday night that I might even ask you the question, what thing are you struggling with the most? Or what are three things that you might be struggling with the most? And I thought I might take that up and you know, maybe put them in the offering plate or whatever, and then compile those answers and then try to address some of those things from the Scripture. By the way, if you do have something that you're struggling with and you would like to for me to address that, let me know, because I want to help you with what you are facing in life. And in my research, I researched 10 social issues based upon the tweets that are sent into the United Nations. The 10 greatest threats that we face in our world today, and the challenges facing Americans' families. Time, technology, money, and stress were the four greatest challenges facing the American family. I checked upon what was morally acceptable. How many people thought something was morally acceptable and something was morally wrong? Doctor-assisted suicide. 46% of the people think that it's morally acceptable. 46% of the people think it's morally wrong. Gay-lesbian relationships, 52% of the people think it's morally acceptable, 43% of the people think it's wrong. Abortion, 38% of the people polled considered to be morally acceptable, 50% think it's morally wrong. Having a baby outside of marriage, 54% of the people think it's morally acceptable, 40% think it's morally wrong. Heterosexual sex between the unmarried. 59% of the people think it's morally acceptable. 38% of the people think it's morally wrong. Medical test on animals. This is just the poll. 59% of the people thought it was morally acceptable. 34% of the people thought it was morally wrong. Gambling, 61% acceptable, 34% wrong. Stem cell research on embryos, 59% acceptable, 32% wrong. Cloning of animals, 31% acceptable, 63% wrong. The death penalty, 65% acceptable, 26% wrong. Divorce, 69% acceptable, 23% wrong. Suicide, 15% acceptable, 77% wrong. Cloning humans, 9% acceptable, 88% wrong. Polygamy, 7% acceptable, 90% wrong. To have an extramarital affair, 6% acceptable, 92% wrong. It's interesting. Sex before your marriage is acceptable, but sex after you're married is wrong. I don't understand that. Anyway, so that gives you an idea of things that people are facing. And I did all kinds of research. That just scratches the surface. But we can understand why our world's in the shape that it's in, can't we? The things that people think are morally acceptable and the things that people think are morally wrong, they don't line up with the Word of God. And because of that, our world is full of chaos. Drug addiction, like I said, there's a lot of that in our world, isn't there? You find things such as rape and murder and jealousy and divorce and broken homes and broken relationships, abuse, anger, war, drunkenness, revelry, which is partying all the time, STDs. You know, that I'm just going to mention this to you just because that it happened to us, or happened to Kim, I guess. Kim and Mark Anthony's on a tour of the University of Kentucky, and they had a student leading the tour, and she was going down and saying, well, things like, there's a hookah bar. You know, you can go to a hookah bar, and there's nothing wrong with a hookah bar. And then she goes by this next place, and she said, now over there is the University Health Center, and that's where all the kids go to get tested for their STD. And they were telling that to the parents. And they think that's, oh, it's okay, it happens, we're in college, things like that happen. It tells you the mentality, right? You see things, and listen, because of all of the stuff that's out there in the world, how many people are on nerve pills today? There's so much going on, they're so, got to take them, to try to take care of it. Chaos is in our world, isn't it? Now, contrast that with the life of one who walks according to the Word of God. Will you find those things in the life of one that follows the Word of God? You won't, will you? You think about this. What do you find? To one that is a follower of Jesus Christ, one who puts the Word of God into practice, will you find addiction in their life? No, you won't find addiction because you will find someone who has fulfillment in Christ Jesus that has replaced the emptiness that you find in this world. Will you find rape? No, because you'll find one who honors a marriage relationship and enjoys the relationship between a husband and a wife, and will honor that other child as that exactly what it is, or that other individual. They will honor that person, and they will not commit that deed. What else will you not find? Will you find divorce? Yes. Sad to say, sometimes you do, but if one honors the wife as a gift from God. Instead of murder, you will find one who honors life because it's made in the image of God. Will you find jealousy? No. You won't find jealousy because you'll find one living peaceable with all men. And they won't be jealous of what another one has because they'll be able to say, I'm thankful for what how God has blessed that other individual. You're going to rejoice with that one that rejoices. So jealousy will be gone. Again, will you find divorce? No. I got to hit myself a little bit. Will you find divorce? No, because a man will view his wife as a gift from God, honoring her, and the wife will be in submission to her husband as unto the Lord. Will you find broken relationships? No, because they will not be built upon fleshly desires, but they will be built upon the fact that they are going to serve and honor God in them, and therefore they're going to serve and honor one another. Will you find abuse? No, because the Word teaches to love, honor, and respect others. Will you find anger? No, because we're taught to put away anger. You see, the contrast between what the world has to offer and what the Lord has to offer, there's a huge contrast. And if you want to follow the ways of the world, I guarantee you, here's what you're going to find in your life. Chaos. You determine in your life that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and I love you because you love me, and I'm going to follow you and follow your word. I guarantee you, you will not find chaos. Thou wilt keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You will find the exact opposite of chaos. You will find peace that passes all understanding. So we need to understand. Think about this. Why would you want to follow the ways of the world? Oh, well, I have liberty, and I get freedom, and I got to do what I want to, and no one can tell me what to do. Yeah, and what's that going to lead you to? Right into the path of chaos. So I want you to think about that. The Word of God is settled in heaven. Follow it. I guarantee you it's a good thing for you. I guarantee you that if you determine today that I'm going to follow the Word of God from now on, I guarantee you it's a good thing. If I come back to you in 6 months and say, you following the Word of God? Has it been good? You'll say, oh man, it's been good. I come back to you in a year and say, You've determined that you're going to follow the Word of God. You've been doing it for a year. Has it been good? Oh, yeah, it's been good. And we can go 5, 10, 20, 30, and 50 years down the road. Has it been good? Oh, times it may be difficult to forgive those that hurt you and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you and abuse you. But it has been good. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oh, sometimes it may be difficult not to treat someone the way they deserve, but to treat them the way that you would like them to be treated. That may be hard at times. But is it good? Oh, absolutely it is. You can never go wrong following the Word of God and putting it into practice in your life. Now, what we're going to do is, in the time we have remaining, is we're going to look at the book of Psalm 119. And we're going to look at the many promises that are found in Psalm 119. The interesting thing about Psalm 119 is it's the longest chapter in the Bible. And every verse in that chapter has some mention of the Word of God. It may be statutes, it may be ordinances, but all of those things are pointing to the Word of God. 25 years down the road, you're celebrating your 25th wedding anniversary. Husband, has it been difficult to love your wife? Has Christ loved the church? Yeah, at times it times it's been difficult. Well, how's your relationship good been? Man, it's been so good. It's been difficult to bring your children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Sometimes it's been tough. Especially pointing them away from the ways of the world has been good. Oh, absolutely, it's been good. You can never go wrong by following the Word of God. Ever. Difficult for the flesh sometimes? Yeah. Good? Absolutely. So where are we going to begin then in the many promises found in the Word of God, or in the Psalm 119? As a disciple of Christ, you need to establish in your heart that the Word of God is settled in heaven, and I'm going to follow it. So what are we going to look at? First of all, let's go back to verse number 2. And we'll go through these as quickly as we can, but listen. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. You determine that you are going to follow the Word of God. It's settled in heaven, and I'm going to follow it. Blessed you will be. Now, there may be some times in your life that you don't follow it as closely as you should. And that's understandable because you have the flesh and you have to deal with the flesh on a daily basis and you have to crucify the flesh and all of those things. But if you determine, I'm going to follow it, and you put it in your heart that you're going to follow it, and you work in your life to apply the principles and the precepts and the teachings of the Word of God, and sometimes you're going to fail, but you're not going to get down when you fall and say, I'm going to quit. But you just like they always tell me about riding a horse, you know, if you fall, you got to get back on. Very first automobile accident I ever had, I had to go to work later on that day, and my dad said, get in my car and drive to work. I'm not doing it. I was afraid. Dad said, no, get back behind the wheel, and you're driving to work. If you don't drive now, you'll never drive again. You'll let fear defeat you. Listen, my point is this. If you fall down following the Word of God, don't give up. Don't throw your hands in the air. Just say, I'm going to keep on. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to keep pressing on. And you might look at yourself and say, I've failed in that area so many times over and over again. Why do I keep failing there? Listen, whatever. Just get up, be determined, and keep moving forward. You will be blessed. I can guarantee you. If you put the Word of God into practice in your life. Verse number 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. When you walk in the Word of God, it will keep you from sin. I guarantee you. You know? You can think about some of the most awful sins that face our society today. And some of them are easy to stay away from. You know the easiest way not to have a problem with drunkenness? Never take the first drink, right? You know the best way not to to struggle with sexual immorality? Don't put yourself in a position where you'd be tempted to practice sexual immorality. Keep yourself pure. You know the best way to keep your thoughts pure? Don't put things into them that would make your thoughts be impure. When you're walking in the ways of God, it will keep you away from sin. Verse number 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. When I'm following the Word of God, I will never be ashamed. There's some things in my past that I'm ashamed of. If you knew some of those things, you would be ashamed of me too. When I have followed the Word of God in my life, I have never been ashamed. Guaranteed. Follow the Word of God. You will never be ashamed. You won't have to come home and, Mom, Dad, I got something to tell you. Honey, you better sit down. There's something I got to tell you. You'll have none of those times when you're walking in the Word of God, because the Word of God will keep you from iniquity. Verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word of God. I will have a good way by following God's words. Simple, isn't it? Verse number 21. And we could find many more, but we could probably mention every verse, but we're just going to go through some. Verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Whenever I'm following the precepts and the principles and the Word of God, I can live apart from rebuke. Have you ever been rebuked? I have been. And most of the time it's justified. You know? Trying to give you a little illustration here. A little while ago, I was kind of rebuked a little bit by a police officer. He started flashing them pretty blue lights behind me. And he said, I pulled you over because your tags are out of date. I said, oh, I've got them here. This was last month or this month, maybe. I don't know. I got them in May, but I didn't have them on my car yet. At that time, in May, you know, my car wasn't running. It was, you know, so I took the tags and put them in the car over top of the visor. And, you know, since I got them running, I need to put them tags on. Yeah, I'll do it, you know. About a week later, I was going uptown and the state boy pulled out behind me. I thought, he's going to see my tag and he's going to get me too. So I decided I'm going to go up by the high school and go that way, because I was going, but I said, I'm just going to, here he comes right behind me. Well, here he goes. He's going to get me. And so, right that little parking lot right before you turn into the high school, I thought, well, I'll turn off here. And then I turn off, and guess what happened? Blue light special. I got out and said, can I please put, first of all, I said, can I get out of this car and put these tags on? He said, you can get out of this car after I get done with you. And so, anyway, I got out. And guess what I did right then? I put them tags on the car, because the reason he pulled me over, because my tags were out of date. Anyway, I was rebuked for not having my tags on my car. You do what's right and you won't be rebuked. You follow the Word of God and you won't be rebuked. Right? You can live apart from rebuke. Verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Here's what happens when I'm walking according to the Word of God. I understand his mercies are new every morning. And I receive mercy. Remember what Jesus said? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You see, when I'm reading the Word of God, I find that I need to be merciful. And when I am merciful, I receive mercy. So I understand the mercies of God. I learn how to be merciful, and therefore I continue to receive the mercies of God when I live according to His Word. I, for one, am glad that God doesn't give me what I deserve. Verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. If someone says, man, you're foolish for doing that, I say, the Word of God says for me to do this. I have an answer for that one that might reproach me. When I say, no, the Word of God says that I need to do this, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I don't want to use an illustration for every one of these, but honor thy father and mother. Listen, somebody says, you're foolish for doing what your mom and dad says. No, I'm honoring my father and mother like the Word of God says I'm going to. Right? Honor your wife as a husband. Someone says, oh, you don't need to treat your wife like that. You don't need... No, I'm going to honor my wife because the Scripture says for me to do so. And we could go on and on and on and talk about these things. But you have an answer for reproach when you live according to the Word of God. Verse 45, and I walk, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Do you know that as a child of God, walking according to the Word of God, I enjoy liberty? I enjoy freedom? Because here's what happens. When you think that you're walking in freedom and liberty, when you're not walking according to the Word of God, you're really in more bondage, because Satan has you in his grips and he's manipulating you and getting you to do something that you is going to be damaging to you and hurt you and destroy you, and you think that you're getting to practice free expression, but you're actually in bondage to Satan, and he's got you in his grips, and he's going to take you to the pits of hell. There's no freedom and joy and liberty there. But walking according to the Word of God, I can walk in freedom, I can walk in peace, I can walk in joy. It's a great place to be, to walk in liberty according to the Word of God. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. When I'm walking according to the Word of God, I find real hope. Real hope in the Word of God. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. I find comfort in affliction in the Word of God. Here it is again, verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Again, I'm a recipient of mercy when I walk according to the Word of God. 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. When I'm walking according to the Word of God, I know that God is going to deal well with me. Isn't that what you want? I mean, at the end of your life, when you draw your last breath on earth, don't you want to open your eyes in heaven and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord? Listen, if you walk according to the Word of God and you are obedient and have joy in doing those things which the Scripture says to do, you can guarantee yourself those are the words you're going to hear. You don't have to be worried about dying. You don't have to be worried about what is in the earth to come or in the world to come. You can know that you're going to hear well done because you've done what the Word of God says. It's easy. It's easy. You know that God is going to deal well with you. You know, there are people that live in fear of, what's God going to do? You know, if I do this, what God's going to do to me? If I do that, you know, what's going to happen to me? And what's going to come in my life? And all of these things, what's going to happen? When you walk according to the Word of God, you know that God's going to deal well with you. Verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I have hope in thy word. When all around me is crumbling, when this world that is in chaos and people are throwing their hands up, I don't know what we're going to do and what's going to happen next and what's going to happen if the gas prices go and what's going to happen with the Muslims over there and what's going to happen if they start beheading people in the United States and what's going to happen if whatever, all these different financial things and problems and trials. What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen next, people might say. I have hope in the Word of God, that I'm going to walk with Him and walk faithfully with Him, and I know He's with me. I have hope in the Word of God. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world can crumble and fall apart tomorrow. I'm going to have faith in His Word. This gives me hope. Verse 92. Unless the law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction. Without the Word of God, my affliction would overtake me. The troubles and trials of life would be too much for me to handle. But when I'm walking according to the Word of God, the problems and trials and afflictions of this life do not overtake me. Verse number 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. The Word of God keeps me on the right track, keeps me from going astray, keeps me from going too far. Because when I would begin to venture out, maybe in the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, the Holy Spirit comes in and quickens me according to the Word of God and halts me. That's why David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Word of God keeps me from going too far, and it keeps me on the right track. Verse number 98, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies." It makes me wise. The Word of God makes me wise. Verse 101, "I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word." It keeps me from evil. The Word of God keeps me from evil. You know what? Will I ever have to worry about committing adultery if I'm living according to the Word of God? I won't, will I? Will I ever have to worry about drunkenness if I live according to the Word of God and what might come out of that? I won't. One thing about it, anytime I might see those blue lights shining behind me, I never have to worry about whether they're going to take me to jail for drunken driving or not, or driving under the influence. You know why? But I'm living my life according to the Word of God, and I'm not going to let that come to my lips, and I don't have to worry about that. See, it keeps me from evil when I'm living according to the Word of God. Will a young lady have to worry about having a child out of wedlock? No. Not if she keeps herself pure, as the Word of God says. Right? Will you have to worry about some things that might happen at some parties and things like that? No. Not if you don't go to those parties, because you're not going to associate yourself with the things of the world. You see? It keeps you out of trouble when you live according to the Word of God. Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So I'll get understanding, or the application of wisdom. Verse 116. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. In other words, I'm upheld, I'm confident, I'm sure, because I'm living my life according to the Word of God. And that gives me freedom to really live. Verse 120. Here's kind of a negative thing. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I'm afraid of thy judgments. When I see in the Word of God, in the judgment of God that He brings upon sin, it's going to cause me to be afraid. It's going to keep me from doing certain things because I'm afraid. That's one thing that's missing in our world today. People aren't afraid to take the name of the Lord in vain because they're not afraid of the judgment. Kids aren't afraid to disobey their parents because they're not afraid that their parents are going to do anything to them. There's no fear, so they just do whatever they want to because they're not afraid of any correction from their parents. Well, people aren't afraid to live an illicit lifestyle and because they're not afraid of the judgments of God against such sin. But if I truly understand that God may bring my sin into judgment, it's going to keep me, right, It'll keep me from committing certain sins. So fear comes because I understand the judgments of God. Verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Think about that. Do you believe that about the Word of God? Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. See, good and glorious and great are the words of God. Verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. That's the psalmist saying how much he desired the word of God. Psalm 1, verse number 140 says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. See, the disciple of the Lord loves the word of God. Lastly, 165. Great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This world is full of chaos. This world is full of people whose lives are a mess. This world is full of people who are searching for something to satisfy the longing that's in their heart. They're looking everywhere they can find it. They're looking for it in relationships. They're looking for it in the bottom of a bottle. They're looking for it in the bottom of a pill bottle. They're looking for it in money. They're looking for it. And listen, these are people who even call themselves Christians are looking for these things that in places that the world has to offer. You cannot find that great peace anywhere other than the Word of God. Those things that you're trusting in the world, they're fake and they're going to fail you. The only thing that is sure and steadfast is that which is settled in heaven forever. It's the Word of God. You can never go wrong by finding your peace in the Word of God. Nothing shall offend me. You see, one thing that we need to get in our minds, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven, and I'm going to follow it. But are you? What are you following in your life? Who is the ruler of your life? Who controls your life? Every one of you, someone is controlling your life. You have either repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and are being led by the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God, or you're blinded by Satan and you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you are doing. One of the two. There's no middle road. You're either one or the other. You're either a child of God following God and following His Word, or you're a child of the devil and you're under His control and you're under His bondage and you're doing His bidding. Even though, listen, how do you know you're doing His bidding? Because you want to do what you want to do. Self. You see, I want to do what I want to do. That's exactly the modus operandi of Satan. I will ascend to heaven. I will be like the Most High. I will. It's what Lucifer did in heaven. And if you're saying, I will, that's exactly who you're following. You're following Satan by saying, I want my way. I want to do my thing. I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I don't want anyone to control me. Satan is. Who are you today? Who's controlling your life? Are you living according to the Word of God, or Satan got you blinded and manipulating you to follow His will? Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless the preaching of Your Word. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You will draw Your people unto Yourself. Lord, if there's one here that's lost today, and we pray that they will realize where they're at and that they need You, and they will cry out to You. And Lord, if there's some here today that have been following the world and not following Your Word, I pray that You'll stir their hearts to follow You. Just thank You today that we do have Your Word, and we know that it is forever settled in heaven. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and...